Keep that song in mind, okay? Keep the words in mind. I don't think I could have chosen a better song to fit the message this morning, the theme of the message. Only God does that, and I appreciate the good song. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned the phrase, a verse last Sunday evening, and the message, Convention Reflection. And the Spirit of God just did not let me stray very far from this verse these past few days. And so I want to bring a message to us this morning out of that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So find that place in the Bible today. If you are able, stand with me, please. If you're able, just in honor and reverence to God's Word. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 19. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law." Very important parentheses here now, church. "Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." I'll explain that. that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I want to speak to you this morning for a little bit on the subject for the gospel's sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I marvel at how you line up songs, Lord, that not always, but there are those special services, it seems like, where you line up all the songs, the special music, with the message, the theme of the message. And I believe you've done that this morning. I don't want to ruin your leading, your working in this church building today. I want to be used. I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit of God, fill both speaker and listener. And may our hearts be yielded to you. May we receive your word with meekness, with a tender heart. May it help us today. In Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Doing something for the sake of someone else is not a foreign concept to most people. We see that even amongst the unchurched people of this world. You stop to purchase some gas at the gas station, or you run into a convenience store for an item that you forgot at the big grocery store. You need it, you want it. You get ready to check out. Here is a bucket on the counter, and there is a picture or a name or both on that bucket. And here's a family or a individual that has suffered a tragedy, possibly the loss of their house in a fire or tornado came through, or they're involved in a horrible automobile accident. They were left paralyzed, and there's a bucket there or a jar, obviously for donations. And you know what, folks? You know what amazes me? Americans, by and large, are very generous people. They really are. Man, when they have needs around the world, tragedy strikes, you just look at the money that's sent from American people, the pockets of American people. And you see that jar on the counter, and there's a bunch of bills and there's some coins. This is for the benefit of someone else, someone that needs help. Driving around town, you see a banner, you see a sign, maybe on a business, and it's advertising a benefit for a certain family or person who has suffered a tragic event. We're going to have a benefit dinner. I remember they did that for my brother when he was diagnosed with brain cancer back several years ago. And they had a benefit in Columbus, Ohio. And people came and they raised some money to help my brother and his family with the expenses of the treatment of the cancer. He's in heaven now, but they did a benefit for him. And so this is not something that we're foreign to. As Americans especially, we are aware of such acts of generosity and kindness. Benefits, if you will, okay? Causes. Now, the Apostle Paul had a cause that he sought to benefit. It was not a cause that sought to raise money. It was not a cause that sought to provide material or temporary help for somebody. It was a different cause. It was a different benefit. It was something that consumed Paul. It was something that drove him in life. And that cause, simply, people, was the gospel. If you take 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and go through those verses, you'll find Paul using it 10 times. 10 times. Gospel. 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 Remind you again, as your preacher, that God does not repeat Himself in the Bible because He ran out of something to say. He repeats Himself in the Bible for sake of emphasis. Gospel. Now, please hear me this morning. I'm going somewhere on a line to get to a point, but I've got to drive a little ways on the line to get to my point. So bear with me. And look, he said in verse number 23 there, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Now, about what exactly was Paul referring to when he made that statement? Let me do my best to summarize not only part of this chapter, but if you'll let me even summarize Paul's life, okay, in the fore part of this message. Now, in this chapter, he used Old Testament references, Old Testament practices, but I'm going to keep it in the New Testament terminology and vernacular for me and you today. But the principle is the same. So listen carefully. In Paul's day, it was a perfectly normal and right practice for those who preached the gospel as a life calling. A life calling. It was a normal and right practice for them to be supported financially by those who were served by that particular preacher. And it still is today. I'll use myself as an example. June of 1976, I was called to preach. I didn't know I would end up pastoring a church, but I was called to preach. I surrendered to that call. I went away to prepare. I prepared. I went away to be an assistant pastor in 1980. I resigned my work at Thrall Carr the week of our graduation. And since that last week in May of 1980, my family and I have been supported financially by the members of the two churches where I have served. I served for 10 years as an assistant pastor in Iowa. I've served almost 29 years here in a few weeks as your pastor, and the congregations at Marion Avenue and Faith Baptist have supported us financially. That's perfectly right. That's perfectly normal. It's scriptural. I don't apologize for saying that. It's why God's people in a local church are commanded by the Scriptures, one of the reasons, to bring the tithes to the local church. Okay? That was normal. Now, it was also very right and normal for preachers in Bible days to have a wife. They had wives. Peter had a wife. We know he had a wife. He had a mother-in-law. And it has been said so often, who in their right mind would have a mother-in-law without a wife? Okay? All right, take that for what it's worth. All right? So, Peter had a mother-in-law. He was married, had a wife. It's perfectly right. There is no stipulation, there is no requirement that if you're going to preach and serve God full-time, you have to do so as a bachelor. Okay? Thank God there's not. Amen. All right? But that was perfectly right and normal. Now, listen very carefully. Paul did neither. He never took a salary, especially from the church at Corinth. Now, he got support from the churches in Macedonia. We know that. But he did not take a salary while he was in Corinth. He was there, he said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, to preach the gospel of God to them freely. That doesn't mean he was there to preach only salvation is free. Of course, he preached that. But when he said, I preach the gospel to you freely, he meant he never took a monetary offering from the church at Corinth. I'm not going to follow in Paul's example, people. I'm sorry, okay? But he never did. And he never got married. And he said in 1 Corinthians, in another chapter, the reason he didn't get married was because he wanted to devote his full time, his full energy, all of everything. When you take a wife, that requires some time. It requires some attention. It requires some extra money when you take a wife. I'm not complaining. I'm thankful for the blessings of having a wife. That's okay. It goes with the territory. It's fine. But Paul said, you know what? I'm okay. I'm all right. I can get along with this. And because I don't have a wife, I've got extra time. I've got extra effort. I've got extra energy. I have extra money. And I'm not going to worry about the responsibilities of having a wife. Paul didn't take an offering from the church at Corinth. He worked as a tent maker. So he did not take an offering. Neither was he married. And people, that was by his choice. Now listen to me. He had the power to do both. He had the right to do either. Both. He had the right to take an offering from the church at Corinth. He had the right to take a wife. He could do both of those things, but instead he chose not to. And by the way, as you read the passage here, I don't have time to go into it verse by verse, Paul did not want any glory for that. He didn't want anybody giving him a hand. He didn't want a pat on the back. Attaboy, Paul. He didn't want any recognition because he refused to take wages. He didn't want to take any recognition because he didn't take a wife. He didn't want any fuss made about him because he devoted his whole life to the gospel. Look what he said in verse 16. Do look at this verse. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I love that statement. I have nothing to glory of. Don't pat me on the back. Don't say, attaboy, hey, boy, Paul. No. I have nothing to glory of. Look at it. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul said, man, don't give me a hand. Don't pat me on the back for doing what I did. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. I get to preach the gospel. I have to preach. It was all of that for the Apostle Paul. All of it. All of it by his choice. Now, you come to verses 19 through 22. I want you to stay with me through these verses, okay? I'm not going to bear down long through them, but they're taking us to a point here in just a few minutes. You come to verses 19 through 22. These are important verses. Here's why. Some people make these verses read that Paul threw away all caution for the purpose of reaching people with the gospel. The means was not important, just the end result. And if I have to break some of the laws of God to gain one, no problem, man, as long as I gain that one. That's not what these verses teach. That is not what they... That is contrary to the Bible. God never leads... God's will never leads contrary to God's Word. Put it down, friend. Mark that down. So I want you to follow along here. By the way, this is the people that justify all kinds of things to reach people are the churches that have beer and Bible Day. You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Where they set up the kegs in the parking lot. But yeah, we get to preach the gospel to some people that we never get to preach to. And some even get saved. And Paul said, he's made all things to all men for the sake of just winning one. That's not what Paul said. That's what he said, but that's not how he meant it. And the context bears it out. So beer and Bible Day, let's not worry about what is doing right or wrong. As long as somebody gets saved, they use verse number 22, look at it. They use the last phrase of verse 22, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And they say, see? Even the Apostle Paul, he didn't care about what was right or wrong as long as somebody got saved. That's not what Paul said. In fact, Paul said just the opposite. We'll get to that in just a minute in verse number 21. Now, here, folks, look at me and listen carefully. Let's put this text in the context. All right? We're going back here to first century New Testament Christianity. There is one prevailing issue that is having to be dealt with. There is one prevailing issue in these churches that has never been an issue before. It's something new. And that one issue is, in the first century, Jews and Gentiles were getting saved and coming together to the same assembly. And that was foreign. That was foreign. It was a driving issue in all of these churches. And here they were, Jew and Gentile, coming in to the same church. Two totally diverse cultures, diverse religions, diverse customs, now coming together because salvation was free to all. Salvation was to whosoever will. That's how salvation has always been. It's never been for a chosen handful. It's always been to whosoever will. And it went from the Jews to the Gentile world. And Paul was even called the apostle to the Gentiles. But some Jews were getting saved. And here they came in the same church. And the gospel message was not specifically for just one or the other. It was for everybody. This is unreal. So here's Paul. Paul says, I am not under anybody's set of customs. I am not tied to anybody's ceremonial laws. I'm free from dietary laws. I am free from holy day laws. I am free from feasts and offerings and sacrifices. And why was he free from all those? Because Jesus had come. And Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament pictures. Those were just pictures. When the person came, the pictures went away. Paul said, I am free from the religion of Judaism. I'm free from that. But he said in verse number 19, in order to win some Jews to Jesus, in order to win some Jews to Christ, I became as a Jew. What does it mean? In order to win some Jews to Christ, I didn't neglect the Jews. People, when Paul went into a town with the gospel, where's the first place he went? Synagogue. If there was no synagogue, he went to the place of prayer, where the Jews were. He didn't forget the Jews completely. He went to the Jews. He said, I'll go debate with them. I'll visit their councils. I can do that. If I can visit their councils and go to their place of prayer and knock on the Jewish doors, if you will, I'll do it if I can win one Jew to Christ. He said at the end of verse number 20, to them that are under the law, I might gain them that are under the law. He says, you know what? I'm not under dietary laws. But I'll pass up a catfish if I got a chance to win my Jewish friend to Christ. I'll pass up a pork chop. Now, brother, when you're passing up catfish and pork chops, you're doing something. Amen? I mean, you're doing something. Especially those catfish. I go down south. They say, where do you want to eat? You know where you take me? Take me to a catfish house. That's where I want to go. Well, man, we got steak. We got... Take me to a catfish house. That's where I want to get. You say, man, they're bottom dwellers. They suck up mud. I don't care. Take me to the bottom dwelling, mud-sucking catfish. That's where I want to go. I'm going to go to the catfish house. Make sure it's fried or Cajun grilled. Thank you, Cracker Barrel. Amen. And eat some catfish. But that was an unlawful fish. And the hog was an unlawful animal. And Paul said, look, I can eat a pork chop or a catfish as fast as anybody. You say, I don't see that in here. Yeah, but you've got to know the exegeted Greek lexicon words to get all this. Okay? Paul said, look, he said, I love catfish. I love pork chops. And there's no law against me eating them. But if I have an opportunity to win a Jew who's still under the dietary law, I'll forego the pork chop. I'll forego the catfish to win that Jew to Christ. We'll say, what about number 22 then? Where he says to the weak, to verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law. How about those that are under no dietary laws, no holy day laws? They never even were a part of Judaism. These are the Gentiles. Never were even part of Judaism. How about them? He says, to them that are without law, as without law, watch it now, being not without law to God, but under the law to under the law to Christ. He said, hey, if I can befriend the Gentiles, not at the expense of disobeying God. If I can befriend the Gentile, then I'll go to the Gentiles. I can eat a meal with them. I can befriend them. I can sit and drink a cup of coffee with them. If I can win them, I'll go to the Gentiles. I'll become like a Gentile. I'll sit down and eat a catfish with a Gentile. Yeah. But I'm not going to sit down and drink a Budweiser with a Gentile. Because, 21, that's not under the law to Christ. Well, Paul said he becomes all things to all men. Yeah, he did. And since you're so interested in studying the Bible, do it. Do it. That's what Paul said. He said in verse number 22, to the weak became I as weak. Those were the people who were still under dietary laws in some ways. I mean, special this and special that. Kind of folks that had a problem with should I or should I not. And, you know, I should only eat vegetables and I shouldn't eat meat. And all this stuff. All of this was going on, people, in the first century Christianity. Jews and Gentiles coming together. The Jews coming out of this religion of dead works. And this very strict religion, the Gentiles coming from the practice of worshiping idols. We're talking about two completely diverse cultures, diverse up ways of living, and now they're going to come and sit in the same local church And they live out there in the city of Corinth, Jews and Gentiles alike. And Paul said, look, I'm going to go to everybody. I'm going to go to the Jews who are still locked into Judaism. I'm going to go to the heathen Gentiles. I'm not going to break the laws of God. But if I can befriend one, if I can sit and drink a cup of coffee with one, if I can share the Scriptures with one, I'll do what I legally and lawfully can do to win all of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Paul is saying in this passage. All right? Now, verse number 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake. This I do for the gospel's sake. And you Corinthian people have benefited from that. I have become a partaker thereof with you. And now I am to my point for this morning, people. Paul did all of this, not taking a salary, not taking a wife, being available to interact with Jew, Gentile, strong Jews, weak Jews, strong Gentiles, weak Gentiles. Paul did all of this, all of it, for the gospel. All of it. All of it. See, the gospel was not a tip in the Apostle Paul's life. It was his driving force. He said, everything about me, my wage, I'm not taking a wage in this case, I'm not married, I'm going to be available to win everybody that I can to Christ, is for the gospel's sake. Coming out of my comfort zone, coming out of what I'm used to, it's all for the gospel's sake. Now, people, the question this morning, what about the gospel was so entreating to the Apostle Paul? What was so endearing about the gospel that it would compel Paul to live in this manner? You know what I think, obviously? And I think I can back this up with, I know I can back this up with Scriptures. The gospel was of extreme value to Paul. He possessed a sentiment about the gospel that was so strong. It compelled him to all of those things that we just talked about this morning. Well, how could the gospel have had such an impact in Paul's life? Can I submit to us this morning? I'm convinced it's because of what the gospel had done to Paul. It's what the gospel had done to Paul. Can you picture this, friend? Can you picture this educated, learned Saul of Tarsus? Here he is. He is a strict Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He is engrossed in a religion of dead works that is costing him money, time, effort. For what? For hell. Because religions of dead works never take anybody to heaven. All of this, all the strictest sect of the Pharisees. Brother, he was going by every jot, every tittle. He said, check my record. I was absolutely ensconced, deeply ensconced in this strict religion of dead works. And people, he served that religion by putting those who followed Jesus Christ in jail. So passionate was the Apostle Paul. If we were in a town in the first century and New Testament Christianity gathered together on this Lord's Day, then Saul of Tarsus burst into the meeting place and takes half of us off to jail. Disrupts the church service. Wreaks havoc in the church service. That's what Paul did in the name of his religion. All for what, Paul? All for spending an eternity in hell. They came to Saul, when Stephen was being stoned, and they took off their coats and laid them at his feet. You know what they were saying? we are honoring you by stoning this preacher of the grace of Jesus Christ with rocks. We're honoring you because you have such a testimony of fervency, such a testimony for your dedication to our religion. So they laid their coats at his feet as Stephen was being stoned. But when that man was being stoned, something happened. When that man was getting hit by rocks, Stephen was a just man, a faithful man. Stephen was no lawbreaker. He was a godly man. And while he was being bashed by rocks, he spoke up and said, "Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. Don't charge this to their account." Those words are kind of familiar. Let's see. Saul's no dummy. Saul's a learned man. Educated man. Those words have a ring of familiarity to them. Who was it said something like, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Well, that's not his religion. His religion is eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Fight and kill. What is this? This is New Testament Christianity, Saul. This is being set free by the grace of God. This is being born again. This is being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that thing permeated Saul's mind until he was on his way to Damascus to take care of the church there and rip it apart and put people in jail. And Jesus Christ personally confronted Saul of Tarsus. Personally. And Paul saw, wow, Jesus did die. Jesus did go to the tomb. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. He's alive. This resurrected Jesus is no fable. It's no fairy tale. It is real. And Saul of Tarsus got saved. Eternally saved. Everlastingly saved. Freely saved. 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 Born into God's family, never again to have to worry about the fires of an eternal hell. He learned about real salvation. Salvation not through a religion, but through a person. The person of Christ. Salvation through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And brother, you talk about turning his life on a dime. Paul took off in the direction of living for Jesus Christ. The gospel became Paul's consummation. Consumed with it. Because of what it had done to him. Set him free. That's why he was driven like he was. And this. No money from the church. No wife. I'll go see anybody and everybody. I'm not going to leave any member of society out of the gospel message. I'm going to go to the rich. I'm going to go to the poor. I'm going to go to the educated. I'm going to go to the uneducated. I'm going to go to the churched. I'm going to go to the unchurched. I'm going to everybody. And this I do. Why do you do it, Paul? For the gospel's sake. Because I know what the gospel did for me. I know what it did for me. Are you saved? Has the gospel had a powerful impact on you? Has the gospel given you eternal salvation? Has the gospel provided you with everlasting salvation? Has the gospel saved you from an eternity in hell? I'm asking me, I'm asking you. Has it? What are we doing? For the gospel's sake. What are we doing for the gospel's sake? What are we doing? What can we point to and say, this part of how I live is for the gospel's sake. For the sake of the gospel. What particular part of our lives can we point to and say, you know why I do this? And this I do for the gospel's sake. Hey, people, I've got good news for you. You don't have to give up making money. You don't have to give up getting married. You don't have to do that. Paul chose to do that. You can have an income and you can have a spouse and you can still do a lot of what you do for the gospel's sake. What we're doing today is making it convenient for church members not to do anything for the gospel's sake. Well, I'm here this morning. Look, I'm not the Apostle Paul. You're not the Apostle Paul. But I got the same salvation he did. And so did you. I'm going to the same heaven where he is. What are you doing for the gospel's sake? That's a fair question, folks. What are you doing for the gospel's sake? What can you point to in life and say, I'm doing this for the gospel's sake? Did you hear? Remember I said, don't forget the song they sang? So great a price he paid. So great the sacrifice. You know, I don't know who's up tonight. That would be a great song for the Lord's Supper service. We might have that tonight if y'all can do that. So great a price he paid. So great the sacrifice. Are you listening? I mean, come on. You say, well, you don't have to go without making an income. You don't have to give up marriage. But people, the gospel is worthy of some interruption of the schedule of our lives. It's worthy. Yes, it is. Suggestions. What can I do for the gospel's sake? These would be quick. Number one, love its person. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. With His death, His burial, His resurrection. Love Him. Love Him. Get up tomorrow morning and read your Bible. Get up tomorrow morning and talk to Him. Get up tomorrow morning and thank Him for going to the cross. So, well, I'm going to do that at the Lord's Supper. 4 times a year? Get up tomorrow morning, thank you. Get up tomorrow morning and look around. See what you just look at your relationships and look at them and say, Lord Jesus, I owe this to you. Love its person. Number two, share its message. You know what Paul said? He said in Romans 1, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Get you some tracts. Hey, do you think for the sake of the gospel, you could take one of these and hand it to one person for the sake of the gospel and say, be my guest on Easter Sunday? One person? For the sake of the gospel? I'm not asking you to do this for the sake of Faith Baptist Church. Hey, you just want a big crowd. I don't even know how many were in church last Sunday. Brother Gallus, you were out of town. You stopped me this morning and said, preacher, how many were here last Sunday? I don't know. And I could know because I got the paper that had the number on it. But that's not what's important, folks. That's not the driving force. The driving force is people are going to spend eternity somewhere. The religious, the unreligious, the lost, I mean, the heathen, if you will, they're going to go somewhere for eternity. Get you some tracts. Witness, thank you for coming out yesterday. Thank you for going out. I will say what I said in Sunday school because in 29 years and 10 and 39 years, you just hear so much and I've heard so often, well, that's just not the way I do it. And by the way, let me make it biblically clear that the method of taking the gospel out two by two, door to door, street to street, house to house, is what Jesus and the apostles both initiated. Do not make a statement that that is a waste of time and not an effective way. I will fight those type of influences from young men who have no brain. It's not about being effective. It's about being obedient. That's the problem with this young generation. They're results driven. If it's not doing anything, it's not about results always. It's about obedience. You take it up with the Lord someday. He sent the disciples out 2 by 2. And then He sent 70 others out 2 by 2 behind that. Look, some things I hear, I just, nah. But things like that? Oh, no. I'm not going to let that be said and pass it up. I don't want that influence in this church. You may not go, but don't you dare sit and call it ineffective. No, sir. By the way, I was thinking this other day. Much of the Pauline epistles, a lot of the Pauline epistles that Paul wrote to churches, in those epistles, he dealt with false teaching. Check it out. Over and over again. Share Christ, witness, pass out tracts. Well, I'm just going to put money in the plate so you guys can do it. Where did you get that? I had a businessman say that to me one time some years ago. Preacher, you just keep getting the souls saved, and I'll keep putting money in the plate. You take one verse in this book and show me where that's biblical mindset. I have no more responsibility to be a witness for Christ than anybody else. And I've been said, well, that's just not my cup of tea. I do it the other way. And you be honest. You rarely do it. Be honest. You rarely do it. Be honest. When's the last time you shared? I don't do it 2 by 2, but I just do it as, when's the last time you did it? When's the last time you shared Christ? No. Let's get down to where the brass tacks are. When's the last time you shared Christ? In a letter? In a tract? Share its message as much as in me is. I'm ready to preach the gospel, Paul said. Share the message of Jesus. Let me tell you, the people who have the best... And I told my Sunday school class this morning, ideally, Brother Miller, ideally, the best way to be a witness is just do it everywhere you go. That's ideally, right?
Amen.
How many people live ideally? Realistically, the people who are most faithful at getting to witness to somebody are the ones who show up to go 2 by 2 at a designated time. Look, folks, I know I'm not real smart, but I'm not completely stupid. When I'm writing all this, I'm thinking, Lord, are you sure you want me to say all that on Sunday morning? They ain't going to like it. Oh, well. I got Bible to back it up. I just got to let the chips fall where they may. Whew. 62, if there's more of them to get against you than for you, see you later. Amen. I'm not beholden to the fear of man. I'm not being ugly this morning. I'm being biblical. Amen. Share its message. Unleash its power. It has life-changing power. It turns Saul into Paul. Hey, how about the old drunken baseball player sitting up on the sidewalk in Chicago across from the Pacific Garden Mission, and one of the workers says, come on in for the service. And old William Ashley Sunday goes in and gets saved. Throws his cleats and his baseball glove over his shoulder and hits the sawdust trail and shook the hands of 1 million converts. Oh, hey, that gospel power may not make a Billy Sunday out of me and you, but it may help us get over some things in our life that we should get rid of. Because it's got power. It's got power. Hey, church, what do you do for the gospel's sake? I'm glad you give to missions. I'm glad you support missionary efforts. We all do. But looking at your life, me looking at my life, you looking at yours, what can you and I point to and say? This I do for the gospel's sake. Some of you who are at the age in life where you've lost your legs and you've lost the ability, the stamina to go out, can do a great service just by sitting at home when you know we're out, saying, God bless those that are out soul winning. God bless them. The rest of us that have our health and our legs, we need to find something in our life that we can say, this I do. Not for Terry Angel's sake. Not for Faith Baptist Church's sake. For the gospel's sake. Why do you go 2 weeks apart from your wife and four children? Five. Why do you go 2 weeks to a third world country? Apart from your wife. I asked Brother Gallus if he'd like to come over to the house today for some rice. He said, I don't think so. Why do you do that? For the gospel's sake. Well, it'd be a fun trip. Do it sometime. For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Father, bless our hearts this morning. Help us, I pray. And Lord, we're not going to be the Apostle Paul. You only had one of those. I get it. But Lord, in this century, at this time, we ought to be able to point to something and say, this I do for the gospel's sake. This, the gospel has influenced, means so much to me. This I do for the gospel's sake. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say, Pastor, somewhere along the line of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart in some way, somehow. I want to have something in my life that I point to and say, this I do for the gospel's sake. I want to do that. I want to have something. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting this morning, and this I do for the gospel's sake. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Appreciate the response this morning. I join you, and this I do for the gospel's sake. This I do. Now, important question. What if there's somebody here this morning would say, Brother Angel, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. You talk about the gospel, going to heaven, not going to hell. I'm not sure that I am saved. In other words, nobody has ever shown me from the Bible how to be born again. I've never been shown from the Bible how to be born again. If that's you this morning, would you be honest enough to say, I've never been shown from the Bible how to be born again, so I can pray for you? Just slip your hand in the air. If that's you this morning, I've never had anybody show me from the Bible how to be born again. A couple, three of you are glancing up at me. I know it's a big thing, but would you just let me pray for you if you've never been shown how to be born again, how to be saved? If you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized, you ought to step out and obey the Lord. This is a great time to do it. You come and make that step of obedience this morning. Tell one of these men, I need to be baptized. And let the Lord bless your life. If you've talked to us about joining the church, come and do that today or make an appointment to see one of us. If you're not saved, if God spoke to you, the Holy Ghost did a good work in your heart, then mind the Lord this morning. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And ladies are playing a song of invitation for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. God spoke to my heart this morning for the gospel's sake. If you can't kneel at an altar right there in your pew, just make an altar out of your pew. Ask God, oh God, help me. I want to have some part of my life that I point to and say, this I do for the gospel's sake. This I do for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. I carry tracts in my pocket. I keep a Bible on my desk at work. I pray over my meal at lunch. Why do you do all that? For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. I keep some tracts by the front door of the house. If I get a person that drops off a package, I try to hand them a tract. Why? For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. while we're praying this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, if nobody's ever shown you from the Bible how to be born again, why don't you come and let us show you this morning while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let the Lord speak to your heart today. While we wait. We don't have to be the Apostle Paul. God never called any of us to do that. But we can live by the same principles. Saved by the same gospel. Headed to the same heaven. This I do for the gospel's sake. Father, bless the message to our hearts this morning. I pray, O God, that our hearts be tender, responsive, Lord, please. May the hard heart just purposely refusing to receive biblical truth be admonished this morning. Oh, Lord, help us. And may your Spirit soften and working in our hearts, O God, bring us to truth and to a place in our lives that we can point to that and say, this I do for the gospel's sake. Help our church, please. Help us as we look forward to a very special Easter Sunday. Lord, help us to live for you, for the gospel's sake. I pray in Jesus' name and amen.